Good afternoon, everyone. This festival portrays a world that will be free from fear. That is the subject of my message today, fear. It sounds like a rather negative subject. That's because fear is generally a negative thing. It means to be afraid. It means to be scared. It's the anticipation of something bad happening. There are so many things in this world that we can worry and stress ourselves about today. I can only scratch the surface of just how many there are. But what I'd like to emphasize right now is that in the world tomorrow, it is not only the terrible wrongs and horrible crimes and problems that will be removed, it is also the anticipation of those things happening to us. In many cases, it's the anticipation or fear of something bad happening that can almost be as devastating as the thing itself. All fears will be wiped away in the millennium, all except one. I'll come on to which one in a minute. It's a very important one. Let's look at an example of fear. Many of you are aware that earlier this year, a member of this church in Nigeria was kidnapped. I don't need to go into the details of that case for you to realize just how terrifying and tragic a kidnapping can be. In America and Europe, it's hard for us to imagine what kidnappings are really like. But in Nigeria, they are very much aware of the dangers. Kidnappings are common. There are so many that many are not even reported, and there are no official numbers available. The people of Nigeria live with this fear every day. Every day they have to be concerned about it. They have to plan their travel to avoid riskier times and places. They have to keep under the radar to try and avoid being seen as a target. If they might have a connection to someone with money, that increases their risk. These people are living in anticipation of a kidnapping. They face many other challenges too, but this is a significant one. A large portion of those kidnappings are used to fund a war going on in Nigeria. God tells us that we won't need to fear war anymore. Swords will be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Mankind will no longer be trying to take from others using whatever means possible. According to Wikipedia, there are currently 4 major wars going on right now. There are 7 smaller wars and 26 minor conflicts, as well as 18 skirmishes and clashes. These problems are widespread for sure. Let's read Zechariah 8 and verse 4 and see what the future will look like in these places. Zechariah 8 and verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Just imagine the streets of Nigeria looking like that too. Imagine some of the big Western cities also. In the world tomorrow, there will be safety. Children will play without fear. Kidnappings will not happen. Robbings, muggings, burglaries, terrorist attacks, shootings. None of those will be happening. And maybe the most striking thing is the anticipation of those things won't be in our minds either. I don't think we even realize anymore just how much we are burdened by those fears. We routinely lock our doors. We have security cameras and guards. We avoid being alone in dark streets. Many don't like being in busy places because of the chance of a shooting or bombing. These things have become so habitual that it will be a relief when that weight is lifted. There are other less dramatic fears too that are easy to take for granted, such as keeping your job. Perhaps you fear you'll lose your house, your car, unable to pay debts because your job is on the line, redundancy or pressure to meet targets. Health is another area that concerns many people too. As an example, our 19-month-old toddler has been diagnosed with a nut allergy. We suspect it's a very serious and sensitive one too. He recently reacted to something that came from a factory that also processes nuts. There is a 90% chance he'll have it for life and a 70% chance his reactions could be life-threatening. Now, there are many worse health conditions too, but it's things like this that people are living with every day. People are living with conditions where the chance of something bad happening is high. I could go on about all the different fears and worries and stresses that the world is dealing with. There are just too many. But we know that there is not much longer until Christ will come and he will put an end to it all. And when that happens, we will realize the extent to which stress and worry has had on our lives. People will be happier and healthier because of it. Now, as I mentioned, there is one fear that will exist during the millennium. In fact, it's fair to say that it will become prevalent throughout the world. I think it's also fair to say it's one big reason for all those other fears ceasing. What I'm talking about is the fear of God, and I'd like to focus on that one fear for the next few minutes. Let's say you're describing to someone the wonderful world tomorrow, a utopia where there will be peace and happiness. Everyone will feel safe. No one is going to harm or hurt anyone else. But you happen to mention that everyone will fear God. Well, hold on a minute, they might say. We've had so many tyrannical rulers, dictators and fascists and communists and the like. Can't we have a nice democracy? That way no bad guys can be in charge, right? So what is it that makes the fear of God okay in a world that is free from fear? It may seem like a basic question, but we will be responsible for teaching people who have no concept of this idea. And don't forget that people will fear the God family, and that includes those born as spirit beings. Let's look at Jeremiah 32 and verse 38 for an example of this in Scripture. Jeremiah 32 and verse 38. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that they will not turn away from doing them good. I will not turn away from doing them good, and I will put my fear in their hearts, so they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Let's take a little look at the meaning of the word fear. There are a few alternatives that are interesting to think about. If you look at the Strong's number for fear, 3372, the original word has been used to mean respect, revere or reverence, awesome, and to stand in awe of. Make a note of Psalm 33 and verse 8, where it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Can you imagine the whole world standing in awe of God? That phrase really sticks in my mind when it comes to the meaning of this, of fear. Many of us probably had the feeling of awe when we heard God's words being taught to us through Mr. Armstrong. At Christ's return, there will be many reasons for the world to stand in awe of God. The world will have come through the worst time in its history. They will have witnessed it. They will also witness Christ coming and putting an end to it all. They will realize for the past 6,000 years, there was a plan all along. God was working things out, and they didn't see it. They didn't understand it. But now they do. Now there will be no excuse for everyone not to stand in awe of their Creator, to respect him, and finally listen to what he says. Now, the fear of God is also a sound-minded fear, as Mr. Renoir was talking about this morning. Unlike the fear of a harmless spider or the instinctive panic when faced with danger, this is the kind of fear that is logical. There are clear consequences for definite actions. I'm sure some of you have had a boss who behaves erratically, who tends to tell someone off one day for one thing and then ignore the same mistake the next day. Sometimes they do it just to keep everyone on their toes and to let everyone know that he's their boss. But God isn't like that. Christ is going to rule in righteousness and in fairness. Psalm 9 and verse 8 is an example of this. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 9 and verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Christ's leadership will be nothing like any other government the world has ever seen. People will choose to fear God. They will choose to live according to his way. The fear of God is also the beginning of wisdom. You can make a note of Psalm 111 and verse 10 and Proverbs 9 and verse 10 for some, there's a couple of places where that is mentioned. Fearing God is where the solutions will begin. It is the starting point to having our minds opened. It is the starting point for the world to have their minds opened. You really can't say that about any other fear. When that spider jumps out at you and you squash it in terror, it's very much the end. But with God, fearing him is very much the beginning. So in conclusion, in the world ahead of us, there won't be the worries and stresses that we have today. Not only will the great evils and problems be removed, but also the anticipation every day of those problems will be gone too. On top of that, the one fear that all will have will be immensely positive. It will put this world's focus back on God and the wonderful future that will finally come from standing in awe of the one who created us. The result is that the world will truly be free from fear.